you might not be good enough for the result that you want. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because you can create an individual that is good enough for the result that you want.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with Trevor Cowley. Guys, today I have an awesome guest for you, Adam Lamb. Kel introduced us, a couple weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I like about, masterminds or, networking groups for entrepreneurs. We met one person, Mark, that we were talking about, right? That has an amazing movement helping men, become better and get connected with God and quit drinking alcohol. And, he's doing amazing things. And so when we met him, he came out, he was on the podcast. He's been on the show before. And he's said a lot of amazing things about you, connected you with Kel. Kel connected you with me, and then, here we are on the show. But even prior to getting on the show, it's cool to just be around another like-minded individual that's, trying to find the next level of themselves, the next version. And it seems like that you've gone through some of your journeys, and sometimes the next version of you was a faith-based entrepreneur versus the previous version that wasn't, right? Trying to fight this fight all by yourself. And so, like, it's really cool because I've gone through that journey myself recently. Is like, you put a target on money and success and this, that, the other, and then you start getting it and you feel how empty and hollow that can be just by itself, right?
Absolutely.
And that there's something more. And then the type of individual that you are, if you know that there's something more, you seek. Yep. Right? How many average people know in their mind and in their heart that there is something more, but they really are not putting themselves out there trying to find the answers?
Exactly.
Right? And so I'm super excited to get to know you more and hear more about your journey, man.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
Yeah.
And it's funny, Mark and I have been friends for about 5 years. I quit drinking alcohol in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to go 30 days. And I got to 60 days. And I got to 90 days and I was like, man, I'll never drink again. Yeah. And then like 30 days after that, I reached out to, I don't know if you know Tucker Max.
I don't.
And he used to have a company, I think he still owns, he might have sold it, that helps authors write books. Huh. And so I launched a book called Better Than the Binge, Overcoming the Social Obligation of Alcohol. And I wrote it because that was what I found, is that it's like a lot of people that maybe they don't regularly drink, but they'll get around people that feel that social obligation. And then,
or anxiety.
Oh, for sure.
Social anxiety. And you're just like, dude, I just want to take one or two to kill the nerves, right?
Yeah. Well, I worked in nightclubs from like 18 to 28. And so my comfort zone in that environment was behind the bar. And so if I was out places, I didn't like the crowd, people being next to me. So I was like, drink, you know? And just realizing, though, I had a good friend of mine who's about 10 years older, kind of a mentor of mine, and he quit drinking in his like late 30s. And he was like, and I was like, why'd you quit? And he's like, I just, where I wanted to go, I couldn't fit alcohol in.
The better version of me didn't do that.
Yeah. Much. He's like, there's just, you don't have to worry about a DUI. You don't have to worry about making a stupid mistake or saying the wrong thing at a business meet. Like you just.
Or waking up the next day feeling like crap.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what, where Mark and I started getting aligned, who kind of found each other, right? And became good friends. And then have always kind of like, just been buddies, run stuff by each other and stuff like that. And that's where, he ended up getting us connected. And and then,
super appreciative of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. It's good to just, and this, being an entrepreneur and building business, it can be a lonely place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to like talk about the vision, right? And
you feel misunderstood to the point where what's the point of talking about it? Because nobody understands what you're going through anyways.
Yeah.
So therefore you isolate. And when you isolate, you just feel alone. And there are other people out there that are like us, but we all, business is so hard and so tough that you're just trying to find these little pockets of peace, and you become a recluse. And then it's almost like we do it to ourselves to a certain extent, because it doesn't have to be done. But I just think that it finally gets to the point where you don't even want to waste any energy like trying to find, other people that are like you.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh man.
Cause you're so busy, head down, gotta build this thing.
If you come up for air, it's just for a second. and you're back at it, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned the faith side of it too, and that was a part with kind of me going through this faith journey and also realizing like I wanted to talk about God and building successful businesses too, and then and then that circle gets way smaller, right? Because it's not promoted in Christianity very much to like go be successful, go build businesses, go you know, take over the land, right? Like it says in the Bible. And so that was even harder too, which led me to start a nonprofit that does, it's a faith-based entrepreneurship, like mentoring program to like help other young people primarily like start businesses.
For men and women?
Any age.
That's wanting to explore their faith or feel like that there's more that exists than, you know, maybe they have given credit to, right?
Yeah, I think it's on all of our hearts. Like we're created by a creator.
Yeah.
And it's in our hearts to create, right? And society pushes us to consume, right? Mm. And so we're going to find the most fulfillment when we're creating. And why not create a business, right? Creating a family, or whether it's changing your health, working on your body, anything that we're doing that's positive. And, you know, society doesn't have enough arrows pointing in that direction, right? It's pointing to the, go get this new shoe, go get this new car, go get this new movie you got to see. And so, you know, for me, I found that people become their best self when they're creating something instead of consuming, or, you know, the worst is destroying, right? And so building businesses is a great opportunity to like find who you are. That's what I found for me. Like, you know, and starting as an entrepreneur, it's funny, this June was my 10-year anniversary of being unemployed, right? Yeah. Of like burning the ship.
Yeah, yeah. See you later, corporate world or whatever. Yeah. Because you worked at...
I was a portfolio manager at Quicken Loans. And it was a cool experience. But great company. You learned a lot of stuff. Learned to, you know, selling over the phone. And I started it. It was a company called Rock Financial before they did the online thing. So the wearing the suit, meeting with clients, you know, and then went online.
Did you hate doing that when you were doing it? Or was there a period of time that you loved it, then you hated it? Or... was it hate the whole time? Did you love it the whole time? There was just a new opportunity that presented itself.
It was
like,
a great question.
What was your mindset?
Yeah. So like, you know, I barely graduated high school, didn't have college. Like, So, you know, I was a bartender. And so these guys that were regulars of mine are like, dude, come work for us. Like, come work. Like
they got to know you, loved you and said, yo,
they're like,
let's take that next step of progression in your life.
And so it was like, for me to, I didn't really have a plan to like going into like, you know, I'm getting married now. My wife, you know, I was like, man, how did I land this chick in the first place? I was like, she inspired me to become the man who I always wanted to be. Right. And it was great. She's always, hey, I've saw the potential in you since day one, which is great. And you know, she's always been my biggest cheerleader and
it's awesome. Great,
16 years of marriage.
Shout out to her.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, like today our marriage is better than it's ever been. Right. Yeah. And it's through work, but love and believing
Isn't
each other, supporting each other.
And that things can get better with time, but sometimes when people are in the middle of a battle or an issue or a problem, whether it's in their marriage or in their business or financially or whatever, you can't see outside of that.
Yeah.
And you think that, you know, ending your business or your marriage or, you know, whatever it may be is the only answer or solution. But like, what's love if it's not tested?
Yeah.
What's faith if it's not really tested? Is faith really, do you have a strong faith if you haven't had to execute strong faith? The only way you execute strong faith is if you're up against something very hard, very difficult, but yet you stay the course because you believe, right?
Absolutely.
And it just gets sweeter and sweeter and you get to know each other more and more and more because you eventually, self-awareness takes time.
Yeah.
Right. And it also takes time being married to people to have awareness of each other and what each other's needs are and how to best operate, right?
Yeah, you and I grew up in like a broken home, right? So I didn't know a good dad. He was gone when I was seven. I didn't know how to treat a woman and stuff like that. And so you learn those things along the way by also trying to surround yourself with like good guys too. Like, hey, what do those guys do? Okay, you know, and that's whether it's how they're building businesses, how they're managing their family and spending the time with their kids. You know, like I'm here in town with my daughter to do a little daddy daughter
super cool
thing. And it's something that I think of as a kid. Like I yearn to just have that connection with the parent to go do something fun and exciting. Right.
Yeah.
And so
super
being
cool.
able to do that today is such a blessing. And then my job is to teach them the value in it and to teach other people the value in it so they can go experience that and find that fulfillment. And so, so I started working at Quicken Loans, but what it taught me is really good system, process, you know, like
how they were dialed in terms of they had, nothing was left undone.
Yeah.
This happens.
So in learning that, and then, you know, my first company that I built was a telemedicine, healthcare company, so I had no healthcare background, but I understood a lot of stuff. I had no business background.
We have an entire sales team over here in a sales department, all telephone, right? Yep. Did you have any experience in like the telephone or did telemarketing form of actually growing a business, or did somebody introduce that to, how did you come across like, this is the medium or the gap that I'm going to fill in the industry, right?
Yeah. And so, that's what I realized is because I did some like nutrition coaching for these like affluent men that, you know, call it 40s, early 50s that needed some coaching. So I was into health and fitness, knew my stuff. And realizing that at that age, they probably had hormone deficiencies, but it was really hard to find it, you know, docs that knew it.
And at that age, you said 40 plus roughly, something like that.
Right.
And that's about the age that people need to be aware of their themselves, I guess, and their hormones. Are they tired? Are they lagging? Are they this? About what, 36 to 38,
like
somewhere
mid-30s. Start paying attention to it. And even like, when you're young now, the knowledge we have is like, check, like, hey, you feel like $1 million bucks, you're an all-star athlete. Let's see what that looks like. So then down the road, because, you know, I think of like a 21-year-old LeBron James. He didn't have normal anything, right? He was like, when you talk about genetic freak, what do you think that meant, right? So these, you know,
that makes
sense. So if he's still at an optimal level in his late 30s, but he was at a super optimal level, at, you know, like, so you can measure that.
They check him. They're like, no, everything looks good, man. You shouldn't be feeling the way that you feel, but he's felt way better because if they would have measured that, in other words, like a report card from quarter one to quarter four, where you can kind of actually measure side by side. I've never thought of it.
Yeah, we started doing that with some young pro athletes too, where we were checking their blood work. Not that they needed anything, but like, let's just see what you look like now. Because when you start getting into the studies of like concussions and injury and other stuff like that, and you can see those hormone changes when you start getting your brain smacked around a few times. And so, you know, just stuff like that, plowing the path, you know, over the last 10 years doing that. And so I saw this gap because one of the guys that I was coaching was like, hey, dude, you should start a company that kind of is the concierge middleman between, you know, you go to the doctor's office, it's like you wait an hour and a half to see, you know, it's just terrible. Yeah. Like the whole, that whole
industry. Not a fun experience. So therefore you'd never go see the doctor.
Yeah. And these are like private jet chauffeur type guys that are like, I'm not doing that. So I understood that. And so I created a process for them to have like a really easy flow of getting the information and what to do.
It.
Yeah. And so like I would become kind of their conduit between the doc and the client. And so, and that just started scaling and it just kept going, never marketed, just kind of reputation and
word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just,
you know, you got to go see my guy here.
Yeah.
That's, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Ask the wifey. She'll tell you, you know, it's different now.
It's like, my wife's with him too, you know? Yeah. So like it started just growing and growing, which was great. And then, but you know, I didn't know anything about running a business, managing a P&L, like,
but you were an expert at what you were an expert at, which was, you know, reading the chart, this and recommending workouts and plans. But then there's, pull back the curtain, there's a business that needs to be operated with this, right? Yeah.
I remember like running that thing on like a legal pad, right? So I'd like flip back three pages and be like, you know, hey, Jim, it should be time to refill. Oh, yeah, thanks, Adam, for the call. And then
Post-it notes everywhere, pads everywhere. It's like, that's your calendar and that's your organization right there.
And then I started, you know, then I thought back like when I was it doing mortgages and I thought we had a CRM, you know, that CRM every day told me who I needed to call.
Your tasks.
Had my tasks, had my follow-up. And I was like, is there something like that out there? You know, and you're cheap too. You're early. So I'm like, what's the cheapest, you know, and like today I use a real, like a robust, awesome serum, but it's custom built. It does the job better than just anything.
You got to start where you could start. Nobody's going to start a company. Let's custom build this. You don't even know what you need in a CRM at the beginning. It's like good to go use one. Yeah. I like this. I hate that. And then guess what? Figure out what you like and what you hate. Keep what you like. Figure out how to change what it is you hate, and you go to a programmer and say, I need this, you know?
Yeah, and so just figuring that over time. And then also, you know, you're focusing on strengths and weaknesses and realizing, like, even though you may dislike something in a business, if it's important, you still have to learn how to do it, or at least learn how to make sure someone else can do it, like manage it, right?
And yeah, well, if they know how to do it and you don't know how to manage them doing it, in other words, what they should be doing, yeah. Right? How do you know to check on progress or what it is that they have or haven't done if you don't know enough to be dangerous?
I've seen so many businesses go sideways because, yeah, they're just, they don't, you know, the business owner doesn't know. They're like, oh yeah, Sally in accounting takes care of it. And it's
I
like,
hired yeah. a marketing person. They should be doing it. I don't know. I'm right. not going to check up on them. I don't know marketing.
And you learn that. And I'm just became such a meticulous person. Part of it out of insecurity, like not yeah. knowing and just being like, man, I need to ask a lot of questions. I want to learn a lot of stuff. And then you build a lot of, you know, systems and processes around that. And then that success piece works. You can find it right down to the which hair on the head is wrong, right? Because you can go through and say, well, you know, when you're talking like marketing, yep. you know, the way we measure that stuff in good, one of our other
good,
businesses.
Good. Yep, like, this one sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, here's yeah. our problem. Our scheduling. Yeah. How is yep. our person on the phone that calls people back? Is she nice? Is she not nice? Is she you know, yep. trying to get people excited to come in because they're not showing up? Whatever it is, right? You figure
and
out
good marketers,
things.
If you're running good marketing campaigns, some of them will actually call your office and go through your process.
Sure.
Just to make sure that, you know, it's not affecting their numbers as a marketer in terms of conversions because they want to get everything dialed in.
Yeah.
You know?
So when I expanded into like, we call it kind of clinic optimization, is going into other businesses that were similar, like healthcare businesses. And that's one of the things we would do is they're like, hey, can you help? You know, I want to scale my business. And I'm like, hey, dude, no one calls. We called and left messages. We called. Yeah. I know it's like $5,000 work with you, but that's okay. You know, just call me back. Let me know. I can get an appointment. No one calls back. Right. And showing them that, they're like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, we can't just drive traffic to you yeah. because you're going to lose
not
that
the,
traffic.
It's not just the traffic. It's how you're set up right
the whole,
now.
The whole process. Yeah. And then once you have the customer, how do you manage the customer and retain mm-hmm. the customer? How do you get referrals from them? And how, is there other opportunities that for
each one of those are new processes?
Yeah.
You just said like four things and there should be something built around that, and that, yep. right?
Yeah. And so it's like 10 years of figuring that yeah. stuff out, you know, it's cool to do that. And then, like I said, you know, we were talking earlier, getting in that space and then being in telemedicine.
Yeah.
And then COVID hits. And fortunately, we solved a lot of those challenges so we could scale, yeah. right? It yeah. was just, then it was like, man, I need more people because our process is great and the customers are running to us because they can't go to where they used to go. And then what happened is being able to, I had other business owners reaching out to me to say, hey, can you help me transition my business to do telemedicine? Cause I can't, you know, my office is closed. We can't see our clients.
I think some people hunkered down for a bit thinking this like, okay, whatever. I can stay closed for a week. Okay. Maybe 2 weeks through, you know, mm-hmm. and then next thing you know, it's like, I need to figure something out. I need to start generating revenue. I have to adjust and adapt to the environment and not expecting the storm to just pass and right. hope that they lift it at, you know, tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year, because there were so many unanswered questions. I think we all thought, okay, this might be just a little 2 week storm yeah. that kind of blows over or something. But
depending on what state you're yeah, in too, yeah, like that is true. You know, yeah. fortunately we're in Texas and,
so were you mainly working with people in Texas or were you working with people
nationwide? Yeah, nationwide? I've always been nationwide. Yeah. And so in that, you know, kind of to your question, when I was at Quicken, I was licensed in like 32 different states. So yeah. I never met anyone. Everything was over the phone. Yeah. So like it was natural for me. Mm. You know, I haven't met 99.9% of the people that I work with, right? And it's always funny when I do get the chance to like run into a client or it's, you know, it's someone I knew that came into the clinic. But it's interesting. And so when all that happened and I had all these people asking me, and so a couple friends, you know, that I knew I helped out. And then I was like, wait a minute, there's another business here. Like I yeah. can start going in and helping optimize these clinics because not only was it like, I'm helping them transition to telemedicine, but I'm like, dude, their marketing sucks. Their retention sucks. They're
you
like,
you solved all your own needs. And you know, for a fact that
yeah,
just because somebody's in business doesn't mean that they know everything about business. If you're solving your problems as a business owner, in your industry, in your niche, whatever it is, and if you actually solve it, that's a business just by itself,
yeah.
right? You have your business, you have your problem, you solve the problem. Now you package up the solution of the problem that you solved within your own business, and now you can have another business teaching other businesses how to solve the problem that you yeah. overcame, yeah. right?
And so you learn along the way yeah. too, because there's, you know, there's always different things yeah. in every business that someone might do that's you're like, oh, well, yeah. that's yeah. valuable. Yeah. And, but what And then it kind of dawned on me too, because I mean, we have over 120 doctors that are patients of our doctors, because not they don't teach everybody all this stuff, right? Yeah. Whether they're orthopedics or cardiovascular surgery, all that stuff, because they're like, hey, I know about hormones. I don't know how to do it or manage it. So, but that's what our team did, right? Yeah. So that I have a massive network of providers, right?
So some people where they didn't have that type of division or service did you help people add it at all? Well, or was it people that already had it optimize it?
Yeah, the great question. So it started with the people that were already doing it that wanted to transition it online. And then doing that, we also have a regenerative medicine clinic as well. And so then it's all cash pay, right? So you have kind of have the mainstream medicine, like Medicare insurance model, right? Yeah. And you're kind of a slave to that system.
Yeah.
And so a lot of docs then were like, hey, can you help us roll this out? You know, I can teach you how to do something, but if you're not going to understand the business side of like the follow up and, I was fortunate when I got into the space is having like pretty affluent high end clientele that needed like that five-star high touch point. And so that's all we know. That's from a culture standpoint, like in our company, like
that's the service that you were, that you built your,
it's all I knew,
your solutions around was to solve that high level problem for that individual.
Exactly. So it's like if you've, you go to like a Lamborghini dealership or like a Mazda dealership, you're going to get a different experience.
Oh, guaranteed.
But we look at it as like everybody gets treated the same. That's our culture, right?
Yeah.
And so that was another part too, is going into these businesses to help them do a certain thing, like let's say transition to telemedicine or adding some other services, but going in and explaining like we have to change the culture here too. Like the lady that answers your phone is not nice, right? And or you don't call people back for 72 hours. Like in our company, if you don't return a call in 24 hours, you're fired, right? Like there's a certain culture things.
I saw something today that said it was on social media. I don't know who said it. And I was just scrolling through and said, you could probably generate 30% more revenue in your business if you just picked up the damn phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people just don't want to talk on the phone. Or, for even our brick and mortar clinic that we do the regenerative medicine at, is a person that answers the phone. It's a cell phone that she takes with her.
Everywhere.
And I'm like, hey, if we're close, answer the phone. Whatever I got to do, if I got to pay you more because
per call or whatever.
Yeah. Just
like, let me, yeah.
They're higher ticket items that we, the fact that you answered
on a Saturday.
The margins
are built in where you could take care of the people to do that.
Yeah, and if people appreciate that. And then it just, you get more referral business. You know, I was thinking just, and I'm not even active in the day-to-day with the business, but I had like 7 new people referred to me on just Monday. I was telling my team on our Tuesday morning call. And if you're doing it right, the people just come your way to where you just
get loaded. You build the lighthouse, right? Which was you sitting back, building the systems and the processes and the culture, and then watch the boats come to you,
right?
In other words, watch the revenue start coming in. The clients will find if you create a solution, people will find it. It's almost like the field of dreams. If you build it,
they will come. Right.
Like it's just, I know it sounds dumb and sounds cliche, and it might not happen like you build it and then next month all of a sudden you're just overwhelmed with business and you're a millionaire.
But consistency is important,
over an extended period of time, doing the right thing, building that machine, that you will see the compound results from doing something.
For sure.
Everything I believe is compound. Either we're making good decisions or bad decisions. Compound is real. Momentum is real.
Yep.
The fact is it on your side? Is it going to serve you in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Or is the momentum that you have in your life or in your business or in your marriage right now going in the other direction where it's probably not going to end up well in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Could be with your health, the decisions that you're making. Like it doesn't matter. Everything takes time to show face, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
That burger, that soda, or that, it might not do anything this one time, but if that's the way that you live for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you can look at somebody in the street and say, that person doesn't eat healthy.
Yeah,
it's the same in business. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, there's a reason why that person's successful. There's a reason why that person's overweight. It's not the one meal. It's not the 1 year. It's a compound effect.
Yeah,
right?
Even on that, we always say, gaining 5 pounds a year is not, you don't notice that much, but in 10 years you've gained 50 pounds.
Yep.
And so like that can be a big deal. And I think it boils down to culture too. And so like for us is, system, process, culture, right? So if the people that like, if, you know, there's been people on my team that are so intelligent, super knowledgeable, but they're like, oh, another client. And it's like, hey, listen, man, if you don't love, not every day, right? Sometimes we have our days, but like,
we're all human,
but you gotta kind of love this. If you love this, people receive that. Right. Yeah. And I've always kind of like a pet peeve of mine that if, you know, hey, how are you doing? You know, whatever, a restaurant or you know, this guy, I think of where I get my car washed. He's like, oh, I survived, you know? And I was like, do you hate your job? He's like, well, why would you say that? And I'm like, how about just say you're doing great? You know, like, because it's a mind, like you said, if you consistently are like, another day, you know, like Eeyore.
Then that's all it will be.
Yeah.
Like, because that's exactly what you're putting out. It will be just another day. And if you also are putting out there the lens that everything is happening to you and it's just negative and negative, another day, another day. Cool. You're going to be met with another day because you get what you most often think about. Right? Absolutely. Like legitimately, if I think about pizza every single day, I'm more likely to order a pizza every single time that I eat than if I wasn't thinking about pizza.
Yeah.
Right. I'm bringing that into my awareness and into my ecosystem. And the likelihood of me actually making that decision is going to increase tenfold.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about? Right. Cause the things that you think about it, I'm guessing I'm not, you know, a scientist or anything, but the things that you most often think about are probably in congruency with the actions that you're taking in your life.
Yeah. What you focus on, you find, right?
If you're thinking about cigarettes all the time, cause my guess is you probably smoke cigarettes all the time. Right, you think about, I can't wait to get home to crack a beer. My guess is you probably go home and crack a beer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. If I can't wait to get up early in the morning to get that workout, my guess is the action that you take is probably getting up early and going to get that workout. Yeah. Right.
And I think, you know, that when it comes to a lot of people, they're working for the weekend type thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So that like Tuesday, like Wednesday might be peak performance. Then Thursday, it's like, what am I doing this weekend? Oh, it's Friday. And like, it's like, you know, and then it all for the weekend. And I think, like, I like the weekend because it's like my phone chills out for a little bit, but I can't wait for Monday. Like, and, you know, and so, and I like to meet new people. I want to talk to new people. I want to set goals. I like to take on challenges.
I think that you like living in the process because you understand the gold that the process of the build or the grind or the, you know, the character that it builds within an individual. Like it eventually gets to a point where it's no longer about income. You're just in the game because the game forces you to evolve and it forces you to change. And it becomes more about evolution. And the money also happens to evolve. Eventually you're going to get to the point where money's like, you live good. You're able to travel with your daughter. You live in a beautiful house or this, that, then what?
Right.
Like, is there an end to this process of self-improvement?
And, so I think and like legacy comes in too. Legacy. Like, what am I going to leave behind?
Yeah. I mean, why are people that are billionaires still showing up? It's not just the money aspect. Eventually it changes to something bigger, whether that's the individual that they're becoming or, you know, legacy for the next generation or whatever it may be. Right.
And that's kind of where, so when I started looking at these other businesses and realizing I could create another vertical because I built the business so that I didn't have to be in it all the time. Right. That's one of the biggest entrepreneur problems.
I built a business so I didn't have to be in it. And that built another business that I had to be in.
Yeah. And so then, you know, getting those opportunities to like work on other businesses and kind of, you know, just bigger deals, which then, you know, fast forward got into like, I mean, literally like my superhero reaching out and saying, hey, I'm launching this company. Can you help? And I'm like, me? Yeah. Yeah. Three other people gave me your name.
Yeah.
I know you're like the best in the game. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so getting to be a partner with someone who's like a superhero of yours in a fast growing, awesome company. And then, you know, those deals just keep coming, right? There's people that reach out where, hey, can you help me build this big thing? Or this publicly traded company is like, can you come in and consult? And you're like, wow. Right. And because it's a part of trying to stay humble sometimes to a fault where you're like, okay, I guess I can do this, right? And your outcome speaks louder than your what you think, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes too often we think we're awesome and you know the outcome's not really there. It's all ego, right? So
well, you know, when you got people like that reaching out to you, obviously you're doing some things right.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, you know, you start doing that but there's still like you're talking about, you kind of pass the money, I've done this, I built this. what's bigger than me, right? Mm-hmm. What's bigger than what else can I do? And that's what, about a year ago, I started this nonprofit called Making Shepherds. And it's a faith-based entrepreneur kind of coaching, mentoring of just helping people launch businesses, scale businesses. And also to like we were talking about earlier, is it can be lonely, right? Like you, mm-hmm. if you're trying to build a $100 million business, there's not a lot of people you can talk to about that, right? Yeah. They're gonna be like, Adam, like, isn't this enough?
The bigger and
like,
the goal, the less people will understand you.
Yeah. And it's not about the money, but that's a way things are measured, right? It's just, to me, it's about the impact and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, what's if I could help 10,000 faith-based businesses get launched, right? And then from there, hey, create a faith-based hedge fund that can go in and help fund some of these businesses, guide these businesses, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's huge. Why not, right? And, wow. And so that's been a part of my focus. And also just believing God's like going to continue to let the other businesses flourish, right? And other opportunity come along. And so, and then now, you know, just getting a chance to, healthcare has kind of been my knack, right? So just whether it's working on M&A deals or like other, you know, businesses, because that was something with COVID too. Like COVID whooped a lot of people. You get someone that's in their late 50s, single business owner that was just like, dude, I didn't think I'd make it out of, like, and they realized they didn't have an exit plan. They don't know, like, they're like, I can't do this. I can't.
They were showing up to the job that they happened to employ themselves.
Exactly. Right. And so there's a lot, I found a lot of those in healthcare too, where it's like, well, maybe I can come in, help you, like, let's button some stuff up, create some systems and processes that can remove you.
Buy back your time a little bit.
There, and then then we can find an exit, right? Because if you built a business 100% around you, once you leave, the business isn't quite as valuable,
there it
right?
goes.
And so, and I had to learn that too, because there's a part in the business when like you're the man, right? And so like, I used to love that when I first got, everybody wanted to talk.
Thing
to,
that you have to kind of like, to make the progressions, you kind of become the man. You think you're the man, then you slowly become the man, and then you have to unbecome the man in order to ascend to the actually some of the highest levels so that your business has the ability to run without you. And in a lot of cases, after you ascend past being the man, it's kind of cool to watch the business not just run without you, but flourish without you.
Because you put the culture in place, you put the processes. Yeah, like there was a time, you know, when I'm getting pro athletes, guys, I didn't even know who they were, or like a celebrity or something like that. And I had to like Google them. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, and you kind of feed off that for a little while. And then after a while, you're like, it's still taking up my time. This isn't, you know, I can't spend all my time doing these things. And so being able to hand those folks off and learning that to go where I want to go, I can't do everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to be able to train and empower other individuals. And so you just kind of learn that throughout the process of the business. And a lot of times the hard way, right? You know, I think that's, unfortunately, sometimes the way we learn is like not seeing something coming, and then all of a sudden you're smacked with a tidal wave and you got to try to figure it out. And then you see that wave coming again, and then you can go share that with these other people, you know, the people I coach, like, if you don't do this, you're going to get smoked later. Yeah. Like it's going to come and hit you like a ton of bricks.
Well, it's like standing out in the ocean, and you know there's big waves, and you get hit by one, and then you just stand in the same spot over. You get hit by, like, they're going to keep coming.
Yeah, or you feel the wave kind of pull back, and you're like, oh, there's another one coming.
There it comes. It's kind of boom, boom, boom. You know, you actually have to, like, adjust and make moves to get out of the way and, you know, protect yourself from some of the hurts or the pains that you have to go through as a business owner. The question is are you going through a repetitive hurt and pain that you have the ability to remove from your business with some sort of solution or a different set of eyeballs, somebody else looking at your business saying, yo, like, look at what you're doing. It's completely obvious to me. If you do this, sometimes we're so close to the problem, we don't even see the solution.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Whether it's a marriage, your health, your fitness. I mean, someone, hey, I go to the gym, I do this. Yeah. Let's work out. Oh, your tempo. You know, you take too much time in between your breaks, or you eat too early.
I'm at the gym for an hour every single day. Yeah. And that guy says he's at the gym for an hour every day. Yeah. Why does he look like that? And I look like this. Yeah. What's your tempo look like?
Right.
You know, are you superset, or are you supersetting your thumbs over there? Right. Like just texting, you know, cause you see the people that almost use the gym as a social.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like they move weights like 3 or 4 times over 60 minutes and kind of bebop around and have conversations.
These younger kids will say something like, hey man, what's your secret? And I'm like, I'm not on my phone though. I was like, dude, I've done 10 sets. You've done 2.
Yeah.
Move on. I need to get on there. Right. Yeah. And they're like,
how's your 3 sets of 10 going? Right. for your three workouts that you're going to do. You're not going
to
get
results.
You know,
it's okay to sweat in here, right?
Yeah, this is a place built for that, you know?
And so, but the same thing could be, you know, when you look at like work, like when I think of people that go to work every day, whether it's, let's just say 8 hours, and they just don't really like they're just like, I just got to clock in, I got to clock out. You know, like I, like to me, that would be like prison, right? And so I wonder how many people like, if they knew, hey, look, you could, and that's what, like where I started that entrepreneur mentorship thing is like, let's help you start a side hustle. Like, what do you love? I love making videos or whatever it is that you might like. Let's see if we can, instead of coming home and binging Netflix 3 hours after you've just zombied through your 8 hour workday, like, can we build something on the side that you love? Right. And showing that, like, even like sports cards, like trading cards, I started it's called Atom Bomb Cards, and it's a sports trading card company. I started, like, had a kind of an exit, had some downtime, and my son got into sports cards, and, you know,
let's have some fun together with it.
I was like, let me show you how to do a business. Like, we'll buy it for this, we'll sell it for this. Smart. Well, and like, got into it, and it was fun, but, like, you know,
the concepts, just learning the concepts of buying at this price, selling it, all of that's just valuable lessons. It's not even so much about the sports cards. So many valuable business and life lessons in just doing that.
And like taking what I knew from business and applying it into that is from, like, you know, I turned a hobby into a taxable opportunity as well. Yeah. And so, like, built a business with it. Got to do it with my son. Had a lot of fun doing it. You know, stuff like that. And made, like, more money than most people do just doing a fun side hustle. Yeah. And then it, like, got me, I never follow sports. And so, like, it got me paying attention to sports. So, like, you know, friends would start talking about the football. And I'm like,
made it interesting. Yeah. Like that guy, that card goes attention. For the,
Cause it had to do, if I didn't know who the players were, it mattered. So, like, when it made,
you
it
wanted
made
to know
matter,
the value
right?
and I, of it, what you had.
Yeah. And that goes back into, like, the person that's the zombie at work. That's like, hey man, if you just kind of got a little engaged into the depth of, like, maybe what your business does or what the customer does, you know, as opposed to, I think, like, you know, if you work for a package company and your customer ships packages, what do they do? I don't know. They ship, like, learn about their business. You might be able to help them solve more problems. You might have more ways to sell things to them, you know, stuff like that. And so I've just,
How you show up in the world is just an investment into your future.
100%.
So, like, really, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, if you're showing up, even if you don't like what you're doing, are you showing up the best version of you in that environment as an act of, what's the right word for it? I don't know. An act of an investment into yourself and an investment into your self-worth, right? Like, even if you don't like what you do, you know that you give everything that you actually show up to do 100%. And it's very, very difficult to say, well, this environment, I'm going to have a habit of really kind of showing up half-ass, but then in this environment over here, I'm going to go 100%. You'll see these types of personalities, right? Like, whether it's somebody that's fit, weird, you happen to go all in on your business or all in on creating a solution to this problem, all in on your health, all in on your family, all in on your faith. Like, like, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't have it, you want to curate it, right? Those habits, the way that you show up anywhere in the world matters, because that is a habit that will ultimately have the compound effect that we were talking about earlier, that you, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And if you hate your boss, you hate where you work, of somebody that you worked with over that 5 years or 10 years, you're like, hey, I know a person that works over there that's absolutely amazing. They should work over here.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You get a random phone call, and instead of making 15 an hour, you're now making 25 an hour because you worked with somebody 3 years ago that absolutely loved your work ethic and who you were and how you showed up. And now they have an opportunity, and you become top of mind. It will happen. Yep. I don't know when, but if you show up in the right ways, you will be blessed. Yeah, it's impossible
that
not to.
Consistency is key. And I think it's, for me, when I look at in my life, those kind of big rocket moves, right? Yeah. But they're all from people that knew me in a different situation, a different relationship.
Yeah.
But I was consistent with that. And that was something that was always important to me. It was like, I shouldn't say always, but, like, as I got look into my 30s and kind of like, what am I going to do with life? Like, what am I doing here? Right. Yeah. And so
your midlife crisis kind of starts kicking in.
Yeah. You kind of look back and, and start questioning why you do stuff, read a bunch of books and like you kind of decide to start changing everything. But you know, I look at it for me personally too. And I think I want to be in the top 1% in every category, men of faith, finances, husband, father, like fit, you know, like all
literally
those things.
Literally the last podcast that we recorded, I was talking about that.
Oh, cool.
And I said, how many people are going to run 40 miles on their 40? Yeah. That's probably top 1%. Yeah. I said, our podcast, it's top 1%. Yeah. Our business's revenue in terms of businesses in general, top 1%. It's like reading every single day for X amount of like 600 days in a row. That's probably top 1% because not a lot of people read or whatever. Like doing 2-a-days every single day for 1,000 days straight. And I'm almost at day 600. I'm trying to find these environments that I can put myself in where I can reach the top 1% in that category and start stacking those wins. And then guess what? It carries over into other categories and you figure out how you could do it in over here or over here or over there, right?
Yeah, because I'll meet people that are like, maybe they've had a lot of success in business, but their family life is in the tank or their health's in the tank or they're like,
they let their health go and focused so much on their business as a justification that I put so much in. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to move my body. I'm doing it for my family, so I don't need to actually give you guys attention because I'm doing this over here for you. So you don't need my attention, right? Yeah.
And that actually was turned into a side vertical too, where I had guys that would reach out to me that, you know, when I started this stuff, when I was like 26, you know, I was like, I was a kid, right? Yeah. Wait till you're my age, kid. And then like, I'm in my 40s now. And so then there's guys that are like, hey, what do I got to pay you to get me, like, I want to be in shape. I need to get my marriage on fire. Like all these kind of things. And then I started like, I guess I coach guys now too. You know, like I wasn't trying. It just kind of came kinda out happened. Of there. Just people that just like, hey, here's what I do. And I'll be your accountability partner. And you know, we kind of worked something like that out. And that was something that kind of came about too. But to your point is it came from doing a lot of things right consistently and other people noticed, which just kept opening up more doors, right? And so that was it. I look at like how I spend my time. Like I struggle to like watch a movie or like it needs to be like some crazy insane like Narcos, like where I'm just on the edge of my seat. Yeah. Like
it's very difficult to steal your time.
Yeah,
is what you're saying because you understand your values, you understand your priorities, you understand where you value your time, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your faith, or whether it's within your business.
Yeah.
There's these environments that you've deemed of importance and you say, I'm making deposits in these areas and everything else outside of that is pretty much a distraction. You know, and again, there's always exceptions to the rule.
You need like to you said
every so often there's that one or the he's not a robot, but like, and we're all adults here. We don't have to take everything so literal,
right?
Right. Like when we say that, but like the reason why we say that is to kind of show the extremity of what you would need to do to execute at a high level if you want these type of results. The problem is most people get lost in the series or the this because it's the water cooler talk. And now we have something in common that we get to talk about.
Right.
And we don't have to feel so alone. And we get to talk about something that means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things or whatever. Did you see that coach so-and-so called that play? Like, how does that affect your life or change what's going to happen next week? Like, who cares?
Yep.
Right. That's and exactly so I it. Love that you said that because like that, everybody should finally get to a point. It's like, okay, was going out and drinking, is that an environment that I want to put myself in? Do I feel good when I do that? Does it serve me in the areas that I deem important to me? Is that going to make my family life better? Is that going to make me closer to God? Right. Am I going to get richer going out? Like, no. So, okay, now I just say no to that environment because it's just not conducive to the person that I'm trying to become and where I'm trying to go.
Yeah, and like simplifying goals in that sense of like, what are you trying to do? Well, here's what I want to be a better husband. I want to be more active with my church, or I want to build my business, have the best sales year, whatever it is. And then it's like, then you have that filter and hold hard to that filter. If what your activity is, isn't doing that, then you have to say no, you know, like if you're going out like I'm going to Vegas with my buddies for you know, whatever football draft or something and drinking my guts out for 3 days straight. Like that, where does that fit in your goal? Well, you know, it's like, nah, I don't think it's your goal, but you know, you have to make that decision. If you told me this was actually your goals, it doesn't fit. And so I think what I've conditioned my brain probably to a fault is like, if my brain isn't like being challenged, like if I'm watching TV, it's a documentary. I want to hear about some like crazy, you know, like some island or some tribe.
I want to watch how Michael Jordan became the greatest basketball player ever because I want to watch the greats be great.
Yeah. I want to hear what they said, what they did.
Like, I want to know how they lived their life. Right.
I do a lot of audiobooks like almost constantly, like even flying here. So like when I fly, I couldn't tell you last time I watched a movie on a plane unless I was flying like overseas. And so my daughter's like, what do you listen to? I was like, it's this book on like, I forget the name of it, it's on my phone, but it's basically about Bitcoin, but it talks about the history of like
money.
And like when people would trade seashells and like when this certain limestone from this certain island, and it was almost like Bitcoin where
how they valued sitting in the trade, like
understanding
and commerce,
all the way up to kind of where we're at today about monetary policy. Like that is interesting. And I prefaced my wife's ass, like, listen, it's boring. I wish like, you know, Grant Cardone or somebody with a little more exciting voice was reading it, but like it's pretty boring, but to me it's very interesting because I want to understand it. I want to understand, you know, about the Depression in 1930. Like I want to understand why that happened and when it comes to medicine, right? So it's like, hey, here's what you're supposed to do. Well, I know that that's not always true because I've learned a lot of other ways to fix health and solve other problems, not the mainstream way. Mm-hmm. So I like to hear things out. Like my brain just wants to be challenged into that. So like if I'm sitting down and like 90 Day Fiancé is on TV, it's like there's 100 mosquitoes on me. You know, I'm just like, get me out of here. Like,
my brain's crawling on your head. Okay.
I'm like, these
what should I
are,
be doing? Reading? Should I be sleeping? Should I be exercising? Should, you know?
Yeah. My brain's like, what are we doing? Yeah. Right? And so I have to like, I just can't. Maybe my wife will know. She'll be like, let me turn on something else. But, you know, every now and then you find that one show on Netflix that's like your
that kind of catches your attention. You're just like, oh, this is kind of nice. I've never been able to find anything to hold my attention on this thing.
That's it. It was like too much drama, whatever. So.
Which is a blessing, but at the same time, the curse of all of this is the fact that you will have to do this alone for a period of time, because you'll have to leave everything that you've ever known and become accustomed to.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself in no man's land.
Yeah.
Like if you're leaving one destination and you're going to travel across the country and you're a pioneer, you're leaving everything you know for the unknown, hoping that you reach this new destination. And with faith, you believe that new destination is going to be better than the mundane life that you currently live in, or maybe current environment that you partake in every day, because you don't have to partake in it. You can make those changes, right?
And I think, you know, obviously both you and I are into working out and fitness and stuff. And so like, you know, there's people that don't understand that perspective of like, I would rather go to the gym more days than not go to the gym, where they may look at it as a chore and then eventually it becomes a joy. Right. And so, you know, going through that, you know, I think I learned a lot about, I think, business, at least consistency and accountability, doing like bodybuilding, right? I was a national level bodybuilder. I was a muscle tech athlete back in like my late 20s. And so like measuring every meal, like doing all those things and realizing like, dude, that's the same stuff in business. Like you pay attention to every grain of rice. If you pay attention to every phone call, you pay attention, like you just follow those things. It's the same mindset.
Yeah.
You just got to get excited about that thing. Right. And so trying to learn that. So even when you're learning new things you don't like, and I'm like, listen, I don't like this. I don't understand it. It kind of sucks. But I know that if I stay with it, I can find the joy in it. Just like I found joy in, cause like there's even, I think in marriage, right? That today, like I said, my marriage is better than it's ever been. Not because of anything other than like learning to just be happy in certain situations. Or it's like, you know, if my wife leaves her pants on the side of the bed that used to bug me when we first got married. Now I'm just like, you know what? I am so happy that she is in my bed and those pants are there because I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah,
right. Like,
exactly.
Like the little, the quirky things that might bug you. Now you're like, man, praise God. Like, thank you. I'm so glad. You know, like all those, even my son, like he's 15. So he's like,
and it's this, but it's the same environment. you changed your who you were and your perspective, right? Yeah. And that's huge. That's, I mean, we're all living in the same world, but we all view it a little bit differently based upon our perspectives. And based upon our perspectives, those are built around how we live our life, right?
And that's one of the most important things. And I found the people that are unhappy, unsatisfied, have the most limited perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's like they've always believed everything the same way without any question of anything else. And it's like, is that belief served you?
Yeah, is it working?
Then maybe try a different belief, right? And so it's like, I have to humble myself to think, man, maybe I was wrong. Because I look back, man, like I think differently about everything.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I never thought, I grew up like 20s nightclub, like I was chasing the girls, like, you know, and I was like, marriage, I'll never do that. You know, and then it's like, what, my son was first born, was a funny thing, because he's 50 now, and he's first born, and I was like, oh, dude, he's gonna be a stud, I'm gonna teach him. And now I'm like, I hope he marries his high school sweetheart. It changes, because I realize like that is actually a better path.
Yeah, different wishes for him now than the old version of you, because the old version of you had different priorities or values than the new version of you.
And even at the same time with him, so he's like 15, right? And he's hitting that like, that young man
trying to
stuff.
Be a little swagger, figuring himself out.
And there's just stuff that he does. It like, it's like 50% annoying, but the other 50%, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's a normal, like he's like a, I call it like a 90s kid. He's like, he's like a regular, he's just funny, like giving a hard time. Like we'll play, like as a family, we play pig. And like, we just rip on each other. Like if you make a good shot, you got lucky. If you made a bad shot, you're the dumbest. Yep. But it's like, I'm like, you know what? Everybody's got thick skin. Like you can't offend my kids. Good luck. Like you could tell them anything. They're dumb. They're stupid. They're ugly. Like
I built them up and like beat them up enough at the exact same time. I've prepared them for both sides, praise and like, some harshness of life.
Like all week he's volunteering at the church to to do the youth, like the basically elementary age, like Bible study, right? Like, so, you know, he comes home, like, so you learn about leadership, you learn about patience, and he's like, yeah, dad. You know, like, he's like, I get it. You know, and he's telling me about his day, like, oh, this kid does this, you know, and it's neat to see.
There's the patience right there that needs to come in. This kid was you know, so.
And just watching, learning that path. And I think that perspective, right, is like sometimes as a parent or as a husband or as a you know,
a business leader,
right. Yeah. You may, the urge might be to do something that's not the right thing, but your perspective, your past, your old beliefs tell you like, hey, you got to yell at them for that, as opposed to like, hey, you know, let them wiggle into that, or let that be, maybe it's not that big of a deal, right? Maybe I don't have to scream at my kids to like hurry up all the time. Maybe like, I don't want them running around later on in life with this anxiety of rush when it's like, cause I don't like to do that. I like to be at a peaceful pace, and instead of running around like I'm gonna explode all the time, being a little more cool, calm, right? Cause that's a better life as opposed to running around. And so there's certain things that I think as you get older and change your perspective and realize there's better ways of doing stuff, right? And also finding other people that you're like, man, like the people I look up to the most are the people that seem so chill. Like they're successful.
Yeah.
They're chill. Like they don't ever get upset. You know, like those are the people that I would, like in my late 30s, I was like, I want to be like that guy, like doesn't get stressed out. Yeah. He doesn't, like someone could rear end his car. And, just like, oh, okay. And it's like, then it's like, I've become like that where stuff, I forget what something happened. I couldn't find my wallet like 2 weeks
ago.
When
somebody inspires you like that and you could look at somebody and say, I want those traits.
Yeah.
Then you start, again, we talked about this earlier about what you think. If we're thinking about pizza, most likely we're going to probably have a slice of pizza in the next couple of days. You're thinking about these individuals that you want to become, these people that you admire, the traits that they have. And it's like you morph into these things that you admire because of the habits of that you have as an individual of like, okay, I like that. I'm going to make my way towards that thing.
Yeah, whether that's learn a good how to body, that.
Whether that's good finances, whether it's like, this guy has patience, I want that, right?
Yeah.
And you go get it.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's eliminating the ego side and just humbling yourself and being able to stop in situations and say, like, is this right now the best version of whatever it is, right? Yeah. And if the answer is not an easy yes, then it's like, well, then what could be? And then, like, staying curious, right? Like, I think that's something my wife and I always say is to, like, stay curious, whether it's something our kids do or something like with each other, right? Like where it's like, do I want to have an argument like on a Friday evening about something?
I see a storm brewing, and like, I think I want to avert it.
Yeah, like
right?
I'm like, how many people like wreck their weekend over some dumb thing, right? Yeah. Just, it's like,
that doesn't even matter. It's just maybe something else going on in your spouse's life at that moment, yeah, or something else they're doing. And it shows its form in an argument on a Friday night, yeah, right? And it's just like, what are you going through there? You know,
yeah, you could just have those days where, yeah, it's like, I think we're, you know, maybe I had a super rough, intense day. And, or for me, one of my biggest challenges is like, I'll go in problem solving mode, right? So when I'm in problem solving mode, every single thing is being analyzed, right? How you,
with
how
zero fast emotion. You
walked. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is
that
hard to, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying, is to turn that off. So like, let's say, you know, like recently putting together a deal for like an exit, and I'm trying to like, just, you know, I'm just crunching it. You know, the most you're going to get in my attention is like 75%, because 25% of my brain is like working on this thing, or, you know, especially when we have multiple things going on, and you're like, and so like, A, it could be disconnected. So it's like, you know, we've grown our marriage, and my wife, same thing, to like recognize like, oh, you know what? It ain't me. Like, cause you know, if it's like, she's being quiet, is it me? So, and then as opposed to not taking it personal, just be like, no,
what's going on?
We both might just have
things.
Yeah. Things. Yeah. And to be like, that's a good time to just either leave each other alone or love each other, and learning that same with it in business. Like if you have somebody who's kind of doing a couple of goofy things, and just instead of ridicule them, say, hey, everything okay? What's like, actually my daughter's sick, and like, I'm kind of stressed out. Like, hey, take a couple of days out, right? Because then it pivots, and then all of a sudden that person knows that you're like, oh, you see me.
Yeah.
And like, wow, most people don't see me or take that time.
What do kids do when they need attention? They you know, they go crazy. Kids will do that regardless, right? But a lot of them maybe will start doing things, they act out. And some people say that that's a form of somebody that needs attention, right? People grow old and become adults, and they haven't unlearned that. So there, some employees are acting out in a certain manner, right? Mm-hmm. Because they need attention.
Yeah.
They don't even know what it is that they're doing, because it's all happening subconsciously, because they've never put time, effort, or energy to improve themselves. So they're taking this version of themselves through their entire life. And that's just what happens. Like, when people get hangry, and I was like starting to think about it, I'm like, why does that happen? Right. And I started thinking about it. I was like, how do babies communicate that they need food?
Yeah, they cry, right?
They cry and they whine, right? And they get angry, right? And so I'm like, we just haven't unlearned that yet. Yeah. You know, it's like we just kind of start bitching about things that don't even matter just because we're hungry, right?
Yeah, and I think about that where it's like at this point, when you see like two grown adults arguing over something dumb, whether it's like politics or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, they haven't realized, because I've been there too, right? They haven't realized that like releasing that child thing, right? And or you have, you know, I call it like the 40-year-old child syndrome, where they're like, that's not fair. And you're like, what? Like, only people ever say fair is like my 10-year-old. Yeah. Like, who says fair is an adult?
When Johnny got two jelly beans and Sally got one, yelling, that's not fair, you know?
And then you realize, you know, when you've kind of changed your perspective and opened that stuff up enough to understand the behaviors, you start realizing, to your point, is like, they haven't unlearned that childish behavior. Mm-hmm. And part of it is they've never taken the time to like, go through that self-actualization path, or that path of like, is this right? Does this serve me? Is this the right thing? Because especially if you pay attention to the news or all these other, like, what's your influence, right? What are you learning from? You know, Bravo TV.
Yeah,
like, you're going to be a screaming, unemotionally intelligent person.
Yes,
or are you reading books and watching other?
If that's
people
the information that you're putting, you become the information that you digest. So if you're watching drama TV all the time and it's constantly bickering, fighting, and arguing, my guess is that you have problems with bickering, fighting, and arguing, because that's all you're absorbing, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the input. What's the output going
to
be?
There's a girl that she was like a waitress of ours. We'd go to this restaurant regularly, and she was, it really liked her, like just outgoing, like great personality. And I needed to fill a spot at like an admin position. And I thought about her and I was like, let's grab lunch and just chat. We'll talk about the position.
Yeah.
And the whole time she's like complaining about her dad or mom or boyfriend. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to be complaining about me.
Wow.
No, because like, and you get to see that sometimes about people and you learn either you could identify it first. Like some people just, that's all they know. And maybe that's like, maybe she grew up in a house where like, that's all she saw her mom do. Mm-hmm. Right. And And that stuff just carries over.
That's how they justify their pain or existence or suffering without having to actually take action and do something about it.
Yeah.
Let's just point the finger at mom, dad, this, boss, da-da, whatever it is, right? Like, you're the center point of all of those equations.
Right.
So maybe you have more to do with what's going on in your life rather than some perverse fate that's, you know, trying to, you know, predestine this terrible life for you. And did it, like, it's to me, it's so crazy because I've made many, many bad choices in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and, for sure, and grew out of those choices that I shouldn't be where I am.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, I'm a human being. You're a human being. And we all have way more power than we even give ourselves credit for. We just have to be willing to, I guess, have enough self-love to say, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I want something new and something different. I know that there's more to life than what I'm currently experiencing. Therefore, something has to change. And the one thing that I have control over is myself. Yeah. So that's where I'll start.
Yeah. And I think too often the uncertainty is the scary thing. And so, like, we would rather stay in the pain of certain pain than uncertain opportunity.
You know. Yeah,
the devil, you know, 100%. And what you know, I mentioned that too, because, like, as you grow in business, like when you go from the solopreneur to, like, hiring a couple of people, then you start getting like 20 people and you're, you know, like, there's still a part where I don't train, you know, but I still want to spend like 30 minutes with somebody before I bring them into my organization just to see if, because that stuff will show up now, because I'm paying attention. They might, I don't even look at a resume. They're like, here's my resume. I'm like, don't care.
Me too.
I want to talk to you and I want to see just how you roll.
I want to get your vibes. I'm going to ask you some questions. What are your goals? What are your this? What are you that? And see if you just start diarrhea.
Yeah, because someone else can, like, whether it's, you know, in the medical side, like, I got medical people that teach you the medical stuff or manage the medical. I'm not qualified to know if how well you're.
I'm hiring a person. Yeah. I want to know what type of person I'm hiring.
Exactly.
It's great that you know how to do X, but what type of human are you?
And so that's where I think in that process from, you know, building a business is like, you learn along the way to, like, start building the business and you're, like, building yourself too, right? You're growing in yourself. You, like, start realizing, like, wow, I don't know everything.
Yep.
I gotta, the more I humble myself, the more I actually start to learn. Mm-hmm. And then I can find other people to mirror off of and learn from and align with. And then the other part is, how well do I know people? Because maybe I've spent most of my life into myself.
Yeah.
And so I don't take the time. I'll never forget a really good friend of mine. I was like, he's like, man, you always hire really good people. What do you do? And he's a good friend. I said, listen, you're more into yourself than you are that person. If you took the time to get to know that person, like, ask them, find out about those people, then you would learn that either they're going to be a terrible fit or they're going to be a great fit. Mm-hmm. But if you spend too much time talking about you, you'll never receive that.
Or if you're just in so much pain that you're desperate to get out of it, you just throw a body at something.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Plenty of warm bodies.
Like, just like interview. I'm desperate. Yes, you're hired, but move to go. Yeah. Please.
Then you God, go. Hello.
I hired somebody to fix that. Yet we're good. Right. We said we needed, you know.
Yeah. Warm. Sometimes you need a warm body.
You know, and we all make those mistakes and we have to learn from them. You're exactly right. You start building a business. You realize building the business is just as much about building who you are as an individual. And then when you build yourself as an individual, sometimes you can build an ego. Then you got to get rid of the ego and start focusing on building other people.
Yeah.
So you're trying to build a business, then you build yourself, then you got to start building other people, right? So when you usually start something, there's this pull that's kind of selfish.
Yeah.
And then when you start making it, then it starts to becoming about others. And then that's when real momentum starts happening. It's just everything is a little backwards. In other words, if I want to receive love, I have to give it first. I need to shower with love, and then guess what's going to happen? That's going to come back, right? 100%. And so it's this opposite effect of, like, yeah, I'm going to start a business and focus on me, when in reality, it's the opposite. You want to start a business, focus on other people and how you can show up in a certain way and be of service to your customers, your employees, and then the opposite, you then receive, right?
And the world teaches you. It's like you versus you, or you versus the world, and, like, and it's me, me, me. And there's a part of that of, like, hey, if you focus on your faults, right? Like, even from a Christian standpoint, when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me,
bear your burdens. Yeah.
He's saying, like, don't pick up what you're good at. Like, maybe you're real great at this or you're real great at that. That's not what we're focusing on. What are you not good at? Where are your faults? Where are you falling short? What are the things that are holding you back?
Yeah.
Pick that up, right? And carry that. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to get better there. And then you know, what's the next thing, right? And so I think when you're, like I said, kind of being a serial problem solver, I always focus on like, what can we improve? How to find something that's better, and doing that with myself, right? Like and then other people around you see that, like when I'm on a call with my entire team and talking about like where I fall short on a couple of things and apologize, they're like, oh, whoa.
Vulnerability.
Yeah, it's a safe place for me to say, hey, I dropped the ball. No one's perfect. Adam, right? Yeah. And so and it creates that space for someone to share ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Like the ego-led business is just so bad, right? Because you can have a great product, you can have a lot of great things, but like you're just going to deal with so much more stress until you lose that.
You ego. Are your biggest problem at that point. You're for sure. You are your biggest bottleneck.
For sure.
And you'll drive yourself crazy trying to figure out what the problem is because you're so great. Yeah. It can't be you.
Yeah.
Right? It can't be me.
I did all this.
I'm the man. Yeah. Look what I've built. I. And again, you are the I. In other words, the center of the storm. You are the eye of the storm. Yeah, that's right? Good. You know? So you got to kill that version of yourself and recreate.
And there's a space for that along the way sometimes, right? Yeah. Like if you're going into uncharted waters and you're going to go accomplish something that maybe likely hasn't been done or that you haven't done, like you have to have that confidence, but being able to set that aside and not let that confidence transition into ego is key. Or even if it does, having those accountability partners, those friends are like, you know, to bring you back down. Right. And I have a men's group. We meet and that stuff. We talk about, hey, here's our stuff to like, hey, tell me, or a, you know, like a best friend that's like, hey, bro, do you think that
am I approaching this wrong?
Like you were wrong in that situation. And being like, hey, I trust this individual enough that if they tell me I was wrong, you know, maybe there's something
they're not placing blame on me because they're a hurt individual.
Yeah. Like they're for me.
Right.
Or, yeah. Exactly. They love me. They want to see the best version of me. And so I've been blessed to have a couple of good friends like that too, that you can share that stuff with as well, just to help keep you accountable. Cause otherwise, you know, when you're kind of the boss or the head of the household, you know,
when you get to that point, you can drift.
Yeah.
And it's very rare to have people reel you back in to kind of reality and get you to snap back out of it, right?
But it's just so vital to growth, opportunity, and all those things too, because what you miss seeing opportunity if you don't have that curious, humble lens, right? When you have that curious, humble lens, you're allowed to like, instead of me, you know, I think if I'm trying to sell you something and from my standpoint, I'm just, hey, here's what I do. This is what you know, as opposed to taking hey, I don't really know what you need. Tell me what you need. And I want to learn, you know, from a sales standpoint, right? Just learning about the client, learning about the individual, you're likely going to have a better success with closing them, retaining them, and all these other things.
You can try to guess what their needs are, but if you make somebody feel comfortable enough, they'll tell you what their needs are.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I think when I was in my younger 20s, when I was kind of successful with girls, as my buddies who were like, what's your secret? And I was like, I just listen to them and they talk and they kind of tell me what they're interested in. And then I know exactly what to say for them to be like, oh, I want to date you. Right. Yeah. And so the sales is kind of the same thing as opposed to being like,
I like romantic novels. You're like, next. Yeah. I like romantic novels.
Yeah. You know? I like those too.
I do by default. Some, you do? I didn't have like Google you. To Google, so I guess by default I do too.
Yeah.
You know,
I like puppy dogs. Yeah. Right. But in the same part, you know, when it comes to like sales or building a business or leadership, right? Because different people too, there's some people that are money motivated, right? Yep. They're like, dude, I'll run at the fire and you can shoot at me if I can make this amount of money. Yeah. There's other people that are like, hey, I like to be a good peaceful environment. I like to have, you know, flexible time off and like and putting those different people in the right position too.
Correct. Because some people value lifestyle and some people value like lifestyle as in, you know, taking time off and going camping and hiking, you know, maybe not extravagant trips, but they like their me time, right? They're not motivated by, you know, make six figures a year in our organization.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be balanced, and, you know, or whatever it is, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's
your
life.
Only thing that's wrong with that is if you haven't identified really who you are and what you're trying to accomplish, then it can become miserable. But if you know that, hey, I'm not money motivated, I'm more about these type of experiences and I can curate it for cheap, going to the hills and camping and hiking and fishing, then cool. Then build a life that allows that to happen, right? And be transparent with your employer. Or, hey, this is what I'm trying to do with my life. And if it fits with inside of this role, then I would love to, you know, fill it and then show up in a way that we talked about earlier that is of high performance, right?
I think, you know, because for me personally, I don't like a 1 week vacation. And my, like, I can't even get my, like, I take them, but I'm kicking and screaming, man. Like, you want to see me miserable? Put me on a beach for 2 weeks. Right. But like, 'cause I like to work. Bro. I like to transact. I like to be like crunching something. Right. Yeah. And so it took me a long time to realize not everybody's that way. Mm. And then creating an environment of like being able to identify those kind of people. I call them killers. There's killers and chillers, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being either one. But if you're a chiller, I can't put you in a killer position because I'm going
to
be.
Or if you're a chiller, don't want to have the results of a killer.
Exactly.
Like you can't bitch about your lack of results. If that's the type of person you are, then you own that and be okay with maybe lacking finances a little bit, but building the things that you said were important to you, those experiences into your life.
And
right?
That's where, you know, with the kind of mentoring other entrepreneurs is, you know, the two things we focus on is, because I think they're important, is one is, what do you love? Like, find something you absolutely love. And like, for me, initially it was health and wellness and, but it really was helping people and it really was solving problems. Right? Mm. Like for me, it was, I liked the fact that these people who were like cool, more successful than me, there was something that I had of like value, information and process service that they found super valuable. And I thought that was flattering. So like I kind of fed off that. And then it transitioned into like, I really just like solving problems. Like I can't wait for a problem, like dumb stuff, nail in the tire. I'm like, cool. Let me see how fast I can figure this out. Right.
And so that was the medium to do what it was that you really liked to do. You just thought that maybe this is what you'd like to do. And then you found out why you really liked to do that.
Exactly.
And so a little deeper
helping people find like, what do they love? Right. Yeah. And what's in a blue moon? I get someone that's like, I don't really love anything, like reading books. And I'm like, well, I mean, you could like start a blog, like
start a book club. I don't know.
Right. You know what I mean? But, and then the second thing is, how much money do you want to make? Right. And because the scale of your effort is going to matter, right? If you're like, hey, I like cars, I want to make $1 million a year. Like there's a way to do that, but you're just going to have to, and I can help you map out a path to do that too. Right. Just kind of being able to think outside of the path that they've already been in. But understand the committing to that path. So it's not fantasy, right? Like reverse engineering. Hey, if you want to do X, Y, Z and having a path on our meeting this week we did, I kind of showed that reverse engineer. If you want to make $5,000 a day and, you know, kind of showing how you do that.
The breakdown, you broke it down. Simplified it.
You keep yourself accountable every day for that $5,000, whether it's a win or a loss, that's it. There's no gray, like, well, but I felt good. No, dude, it's black and white. You either hit it, you didn't. If it was 10,000 for the day, great. It's still 5,000 tomorrow. You don't get like a, you don't get a gap day now because you had a really good day. And because
that's like being calorie deficient for, you know, 2 or 3 days and saying, okay, now I can eat 8,000 calories today. Right.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Then go back and make it equal.
Yeah. It doesn't. Right? You're right. And so I think, because too often we're either in a position we don't love and that's why we don't perform, or we're in a position we love expecting a greater outcome than we're getting and we don't get it, so we quit, right? And so if you can line up your passion with also the financial outcome, you know, and figure out a pathway. You know, I got friends that are like professional YouTube guys that like, you know, they play video games. I mean, these guys make 15 million, 20 million a year, and it's like, you can do anything, right? If you imagine like as a kid being like, mom, I want to make $1 million a year. People are going to watch me play video games. I would have never.
I didn't even like watching my homies play video games when I was a kid. I'd just watch them play like Zelda one or two times. Yeah, I'm like, let's go ride bikes.
Yeah. 100%. You know? I wasn't into video games either. And so like, I remember watching, you know, my son would watch this like kid play Minecraft and I'm like, I would have never in a million years thought anyone would want to watch another person play video games. But the guy who's watching, he lives near us in Texas. But I saw he like did something. He's like, goes in his garage. He saw a Lambo. I'm like, ooh, you got my attention. I was like, the Minecraft guy's got a Lambo? Wait a minute. Right. And he's like 20. And so I'm like looking into it and he's like, we're actually in this like same car club and really, really awesome, super cool guy. Really like good young kid, puts out good content.
Yeah.
And it made me realize like, the amount of money some of these guys make just doing whatever. There's people doing makeup tutorials that are making a couple million dollars a year. Mm-hmm. So like if you're creative enough, I recently had a buddy of mine who's he builds chicken coops on the side, right? Mm-hmm. And he sells them for like $2,000.
I can use them up at my property. Yeah. I need a new chicken coop.
The content you could make, just talk about the value of having your chicken and stuff. Like, it just could be funny stuff. And I was like, I'm in to help you do that because it's like 50% margin. So I'm like, if you can, you know, and it's not, you don't need the smartest, intelligent, you know, engineer to
build help. A chicken coop.
Yeah. So and like then you start, you create the process. Yep. Hey, we need 10 of these boards cut, 10 of the, mm-hmm. like there's a way to scale that thing up to $1 million in your business.
Two of them for that one to cut 20 of them and now start.
Yeah. And now you're going to save some money on lumber and, so, yep, and stuff like that. And like doing zero mark. Like, and so I see a business like that and I'm like, dude, I can help you turn that little like $2,000-$3,000 thing a month thing to like $1 million. Yeah, yeah. Serious business. And if it's fun doing it. And then he leads a bunch of like young adults at church. They're always like looking for a job while they go to college. I'm like, bro, you got workers. You got 100 guys to help you.
Pay per chicken coop that they put together. Yeah. And you would know your margins. It's flat. Who cares if it takes them 2 hours or 20 hours?
Yeah.
If they're getting paid X per coop, you know what your margin is.
And so it's, you know, and so for him, he was, you know, because he doesn't see what I see, but he, you know, hasn't had that experience. Yeah, yeah, and like, you know, when you kind of become more of a seasoned entrepreneur, you can take someone else's passion and idea and like map that thing out for
Not only that, as well, is maybe they just don't have as big of a vision as you have. Oh, yeah, right. They haven't seen that far down the road.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's just they're so new on the journey that they're just trying to get rid of the first couple chicken coops or the first 100 or whatever, you know, they're not thinking about, you know, cutting 100 pieces the exact same size, getting these kids in there at X amount, you know, which helps the kids. It helps you. It helps, you know, there's always win-win situations. Yeah, and just being able to
see that vision quick. And then articulate it.
Collapsing time by surrounding yourself with people that think bigger, right?
100%. Yeah. That, and just people that have had that success. Like I surround myself with guys that have had super success, multiple exits. They've built great, you know, huge $100-something million businesses. Cause like, how'd you get there? Right. Like I want to know those things too. And I don't want to figure it out the hard way. I want to learn, like, give me what's
through networking. Yeah, like, one show conversation. Me the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, an hour later, dude, you just learn 5 years worth of errors to avoid.
I mean, whether it's how to hire people real well or build that funnel or whatever.
Or it might even be a connection. Yeah. Hey, I know that person. You should reach out to this person.
100%.
You know,
and that's where I think, like you talked about earlier, just, if you consistently carry yourself real well, do what you say you're going to do. Like,
that's an investment.
For sure. You know, and it's just that reputation. Like I mentioned earlier, someone put a fake, you know, Instagram account up for mine. I was like, all right, I made it. But someone faked me, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Adam. If you get hit up by Adam after this show and he's going to sell you some cryptos or foreign exchange, that's not the business that he's in. Yeah. You know, if he asks you what your test levels are, if you've ever got those checked, that might be Adam. Might be me. Yeah, yeah.
But it was I think about that as like, what kind of message is that person reaching out to people that might follow me, and it could be inappropriate. You know, I'm a big faith guy, and so it's like, well, man, this guy's reaching out to, you know, like it could be
trusted people or something. You want to maybe my friend would
be like, hey, that's weird. And, you know, I think obviously would know it's out of character, but when you have that reputation, you know, people know right out of the gate, like, you would never send me this message.
Yeah,
someone must have faked your account. Yeah. Right. And so it's important to do that. And also knowing that, you know, someone's like, oh, hey, let me refer you over to this guy.
They know what they're getting.
Yeah. And they know the handoff, like, knowing when someone makes an introduction that knows you're going to, with massive confidence, that you were just going to,
that's almost them making a deposit in their own relationship and getting equity even more so in the relationship by referring somebody that they know that they're going to get X experience by working with you. And that experience is going to be positive. It's going to be good. Therefore the value of that friendship or relationship grows.
Yeah. And for me, like my relationships and my network is gold. Right. And so there's people too that are like, hey, can you get me an introduction? I'm like, no, there's some things.
I'm not putting my damn name that I earned on the line.
No way. Because there's a damage in that. We all know that, you know, is I can't let every wild chicken go into the coop. Right. And so that's important too. And in doing that with your character and into your point, it builds who you are and it opens up more opportunity. You get to be kind of the guy or the, in that situation, and then opportunity just comes to you. But it's 10 years of building it, right? So yeah. Like some of these younger guys I mentor, and they're kind of like, man, you seem to have like pretty fun. You're, you know, wear gym clothes every day. And you're like, dude, yeah. But I'm like, dude, that's 10 plus years in the making of like, there was 80 hour weeks, right? Mm-hmm. There was like, I've wanted to quit, you know, at least once a day every week. There's times where I wish I could just go get a carton of cigarettes and 2/5 and like hide in the cabin and just kill
myself.
Do
everything I tell other people not to do just for one day. We all get to those frustration breaking
points.
Instead,
I go to the gym and throw on some music and get a workout in and flip the laptop back open.
Take
and
the harder
smile
route,
on my face.
You know, once again.
Right. So. And so, all of those things that go along that path. But it's like you said earlier, it really stuck was like, embracing that journey, all of it, right? Every part of it, even when things don't go my way or things go wrong, I'm kind of like, all right, cool. We're doing some, I'm breaking through somewhere because the journey, it's all part of it, right?
I mean, what I would challenge anybody that's listening to this is if you're really going through something difficult, ask yourself, you know, what part of you do you need to get rid of to move past what you're currently dealing with? Because we're always having to kind of kill the old version of ourselves and 100%. recreate. And if you're not doing that, that means you're not reaching for new levels because each level will require a new version of you. And if you've stayed the same and you've smoked a pack of cigarettes every day for 20 years, shame on you. Guess what? You might have started when you were 18 because you were a kid. You didn't know different. There was peer pressure, You're now an adult. Yeah. Now it's time to take ownership of your life, ownership over your habits, ownership over your mind and over your thoughts. Guess what? It doesn't take any effort to think negatively, right? It doesn't take effort for weeds to grow in the garden,
right?
It sure as hell takes effort to plant the flowers and to actually pick the weeds every single day. And that's your mind. Are we planting flowers on a day-to-day basis so that we have positive thoughts? Are we picking those negative weeds through some of the actions that we could take by changing some of these habits that are producing the weeds that you currently have in your life and your business and your marriage or whatever it is? And so that's one of the hardest part is auditing yourself and keeping it real, because you want to justify why you're doing some of the negative things that you're doing, because work is hard, because, you know, she got upset at me last night and we got in a fight. So I'm going to, you know,
right.
And again,
do this
validate
real well,
it.
So,
however you're validating it, it's still a form of validation. And guess what? The truth never needs to be validated because the truth is the truth. Yeah. Like, why I don't need to say I'm doing this because X.
When I first kind of started reading the Bible and I read where it's like, where it says like die to self. Right. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then it made sense because there's, you know, it talks about there's the flesh and then the spiritual side. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like our higher self is who we want to be.
Yes.
And our higher self has to let go of our lower self, and our lower self could be whether it's the alcohol, the negative thoughts, the bad behaviors, the ego, the insecurity, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is not, that's low level stuff, right? Yeah. The high level stuff, which is like love, compassion, understanding, peace, like all these other things. And realizing like I said, it made sense when I read that in the Bible. I was like, oh, dying. Like, because I do, you have to like, there's parts of you and a lot of you probably that has to just start dying off, right? Even the good part of you can be improved, but the bad things that don't serve you have to go.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's super
important. I've made a post before on our stories, like a little quote, you might not be good enough for the result that you want. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because you can create an individual that is good enough for the result that you want.
Yeah.
It's okay to say this version of me can't get where I want to go.
Yeah.
But what would I need to do to create the version of me that has the ability to get to that destination? Right.
For sure.
And
for sure,
that's all we are, is building ourselves so that we can create the experiences that we want to have, this thing called life, right?
Yeah.
The life is just a big experience. Create the individual that will create the experiences that you value.
Yeah.
Whether it is the free time and the chiller, or whether it is the killer. Like, you know, I got back from Antigua like a month ago, and it was like on the way back, I, you know, my lady's like, hey, how, you know, whatever, how was it? I was like, it was good, I guess. You know, like, how many times can you sit by the pool and eat and then go eat and then go back to the pool and then go, you know, like, and I'm like, it just, I started feeling very lethargic and I'm trying to listen to way like, hey, if I move my body and I'm done with the gym, even though I didn't want to go, how do I feel? Oh, I feel good. So I'm going to do that more.
Yeah.
And if I'm listening to the, how I'm feeling, you know, eating, laying around, da, da, and I feel less than, or I'm vibrating at a lower frequency and feeling lethargic, that doesn't serve me, because when I'm feeling lethargic, I don't show up in the way that I know that I can in the world, whether that's in my relationships or the way that I think about myself or whatever.
Just
it may
how
be,
you want
right?
to feel. Like most of the time when we're like in a funk, it's it's self-induced. Yeah. And so like really getting to know who you are and being like intolerant of allowing yourself to go outside of that stuff. Even like this trip, my daughter, we flew in today, we'll fly out Sunday. Yeah. She had cheer, she's a competitive cheerleader. She had cheer Thursday. So we're flying out Friday morning. We're flying back Sunday morning so she can get back into cheer. But like dedicate, like, hey, let's run out to Utah. We'll do a little hiking trip.
Couple days.
Come back. Like it's like.
Pop in and out.
Well, because when you create the life that you really, really love.
Yeah.
You don't like getting out of it.
You want
right?
to go back to
I love my bathroom. Dude. I love my closet. Amen. I love my bed, right? Amen. Like, because I remember there's a time where I was like, oh, you get to travel and be in this hotel room. I'm like, ugh. Like, it's never. I don't care if it's a corner suite, 1,600 square feet. I still want to be, like, I like what I got.
Yes.
Right?
Isn't that the idea, is to build a life that you that you want to actually live? And, like, I'm like, I for a moment there, I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're such an anomaly.
Society tells us we're supposed to escape.
Yes, you do this. This is what success is, the beach and this and that. It's like nobody's talking about how these things make you feel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to not vacation, because if you love it and it lights you up and it makes you a better version of you when you come back, if you're an artist and you can create more art because of that little break,
for sure.
Cool. Then do that. It's really about getting to know yourself and then creating the environments that are of growth so that you can continue to evolve into the individual that you want to become and enjoying the experience that we all get to have called life, right?
And I think people just don't take the time to like kind of map out like what do they want, whether it's what you want in a partner, how do you want to spend your time, what are those things? And I took the time to do that one day and then it just opened my eyes and I don't do things I don't want to do anymore, which is wonderful, right? Yeah. If you're like, hey, let's go to the club. Nope, not going. Hey, let's grab dinner, meet you at 9. Nope.
It's hard at first.
Yeah, because it's
you feel obligated.
Yeah, well, you're moving outside of what society and the mainstream, everything goes. But listen, and that's kind of the part I had to kind of train myself and with other people too, is like, if you want to be in the top 1% in faith, you know, husband, business, you can't do what everyone else is doing.
Yes.
It's going to be the weird, like you're going to be weird. You're going to be crazy.
If you want to be the anomaly, then you're going to have to do things that anomalies do.
100%. And that's the most, people don't realize that from the outside, but once you get there, it's like the most freeing thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Like even my wife, she's like, she goes, I don't, as long as my wife thinks I'm a good husband and my kids think I'm a good dad, I don't care what anyone else
thinks.
For me,
less options are better.
Yeah.
I already know, like when I go out to eat, I've got 3 places that I go out to eat. Why? Because I know exactly what I eat at those places.
Yeah.
Guess what? It doesn't burn any of my mental energy. And to me, that's a freeing experience.
100%.
To where, okay, I get up, I'm going to go for a run. Da, da, like I don't have to think about anything that I'm doing because I've created these habits that my body will naturally start getting up and doing, because I've learned to enjoy them because I've done them long enough to see the results that those actions can produce with the consistency we talked about. So yes, you'll go through some struggle and difficulty trying to build this individual, but once that individual gets to a certain level and they do it every day for a period of time, it actually, that hell turns into your heaven.
Oh right? You're eliminating unnecessary effort, whether it's remembering your schedule or it's like thinking of what you should wear to a certain thing to impress a certain, like, or trying to like perform outside of who you are. Like when you can get in that place in life where you get to be like who you're talking to right now is the same person, my son, my wife, my pastor, my mom, everybody's talking to this guy. And you know how freeing that is to not have to try to perform. And it's hard because I know the other way where you're like, I gotta be this person for this group or this
show
person.
Show up this way. Yeah.
Dude, that'll just kill you. You won't have energy to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like it's super hard to describe until you've kind of got yourself down that path. And then once you do and you eliminate all that wasted effort and mental energy, the things you can think about now, it's like a rocket ship instead of like, you know, a train, right? Yeah. Just going, it just totally changes everything.
Well, that's why it's important to figure out what your priorities are. If you are a family person, like, and you say that that's a priority, what are you actually doing to make deposits in there?
Yeah.
Like you said, hey, if it doesn't fit with inside of these categories, I just say no to it.
Yeah.
That is a freeing experience. That life is an easier life to live. It's hard to earn it, but then once you've earned that, the mental energy and bandwidth that you have is completely different because it's already kind of somewhat predetermined and pre-planned. If I have three options in town that I'm going to go eat, guess what? That removes the 999 other fast food places that have a billion bad options.
Yeah.
Right. So the funny thing is somebody wants to go get lunch. Where do you want to go get lunch? I don't know. Where do you want to go get lunch?
Yeah.
If you have 1,000 options, 999 are bad. Guess what? If I say I don't have options, I only eat at this one spot because they have certain food,
so funny.
Then same. At that point,
if you ask me for lunch, we're going to True Food, and there's two things that I order on that thing. And I know where it's at. I know how long it takes to get from my house to there, in and out.
And guess what? My guess is those people know you pretty well. Hey, how you doing? You've built relationships with them because they see you so frequent. Sometimes I go to the place. The line's out to the door.
Yeah.
The manager sees me. She comes and grabs my and just hands it to me and says, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like I don't even got it because I've built those relationships through the consistency.
And it's nice.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
It's
so.
A good thing. Yeah.
How do people connect with you, man? If they want to reach out and communicate with you, talk about business, life, faith, you know, some of the things that we discussed on the podcast today.
Well, my Instagram is AdamLamb33. Anything other?
What's the 33 stand for?
It was always my favorite. Number? No, it's like my favorite number. People are like, you a Freemason? I'm like, nah, I didn't even know that was.
Is that associated with it? Yeah,
it was like the highest level. Especially when you get in the faith part, people are like, are you a Freemason? Are you? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, dude. But that was just my favorite number, 33, whatever.
There you go.
So it's Adam Lamb 33 on Instagram. And then, follow me there, reach out.
Yeah.
I'm happy to always help. You know, if there's anything anyone needs.
Where would they find information about like the faith-based entrepreneur group? Send you a DM? Is there a website? How do they connect?
Yeah, there's a website, but it's more set up for donating or for people to apply to be part of it. But we have a Facebook page called Revival Executives, the Regenerative. That's our
stem cell
company. We have lots of stuff. But just find me on Instagram, reach out. You can email me adamlamb333@gmail.com is my personal email. I got five other business emails that I'll just figure it out.
Yeah, that's you kind of keep your eye on that one a little bit. No, man, I appreciate you coming out and spending some time with me. Yeah, I know that you're here with your daughter. You guys are going to enjoy a couple days in Zion's National Park.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys get to have that connecting time that you were hoping for. I mean, you're creating an environment that's of growth for your guys' relationship, and then you put yourself in that environment. And really, that's what it all comes down to. Are you putting yourself in the environments that will do what you want it to do for your relationships or for your business or for, you know, your kids or 100%. Whatever it is. So I think it's super.
I was trying to tell my kids, like, they get to have the childhood that I wish I could have, number one.
Yeah.
And then the part is like, is it easy to fly out to do this for a quick 3-day trip? Like for me, it is now mentally it is because I know the impact of like me and my daughter just hanging out one-on-one doing some stuff where literally I said, hey, where do you want to go? She's like, I want to go to that Belly of the Dragon place. And
YouTube
I was like,
said,
let's go wherever she want to go. I was like, anywhere in the US you want to go, let's go. Right. And so like, that also says like, hey, when dad says X, he's going to deliver.
Yeah.
Right. And then that it builds that bond too. And then, you know, we're gonna go hiking, hanging out, probably, you know, whatever. We'll have some challenges. We'll figure it out and it'll be a good bonding experience. So I'm super, super blessed to be able to do it.
Super cool.
Thanks for being
It was awesome. It was an amazing episode. I enjoyed it. And I think that we live by a lot of the same principles.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt. Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure that you're rating, reviewing, sharing the show with people that you love and that you care about. Other than that, guys, keep kicking ass. Take care. We'll see you next week.